Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
We're still in our series, Breaking Out of Our Shells, and last week we looked at breaking free from fear, and this week we're going to look at breaking free from guilt. And our text this morning is Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." And so Jesus shares this parable or this illustration with him. And by the way, catch this. Because these two debtors, one of the debtors is the Pharisee, and the other is the sinful woman. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, that's about $80, and the other 50, that's about $8. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this text and for your word. And God, we pray this morning that you would apply it to our hearts. And Lord, that if we are carrying a load of guilt for whatever reason, Lord, that we would find that you are the guilt remover. And we pray that today we would leave this place feeling lighter than the way we felt when we walked in. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I heard a story about a man in the military that was a major, and he had been promoted to colonel. And he was a little bit arrogant, and he was excited that he had been made colonel. So he goes to his new office, and he checks things out just for a little bit, and he sits down at his desk, and he looks around, and he thinks, you know, this is going to be pretty nice being a colonel. And about that time, his door's about half open, and a young enlisted soldier knocks on his door and says, "Sir," and he says, "Hold on just a minute, Corporal." And he's got his phone, he puts it to his ear, and he says, "Yes, sir." "Yes, sir, General." "Yes, sir, I sure will." "Thank you so much, General." "Yes, sir, I'll call the President as soon as we hang up." And he turns around, he looks at the Corporal, and he says, "What can I do for you, Corporal?" And the corporal walks on in with a little toolbox in his hand, and he says, "Well, nothing, sir. I'm just here to connect your telephone." And sometimes the guilt hits quickly. And sometimes with insecurities, we produce guilt on our own. But there's a guilt that leads to repentance. The Bible talks about godly sorrow. And there's two kinds of guilts, and you might want to make a note of this. That is important to understand. One is a convicting guilt. Convicting guilt is guilt that leadeth unto repentance. That's called godly sorrow. in the Bible. That's when the Holy Spirit comes and He convicts us of our sin. He convicts us of guilt. And if we're not a Christian, He convicts us in order to lead us to the pardon, to lead us to Jesus Christ, the Savior. But then there's another kind of guilt, and it's condemning guilt. Condemning guilt is where Satan comes and reminds us of our past, reminds you of the saying, when he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Another thing that you can do is keep Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 is 21 verses that we all need to study a lot. Because when you're attacked by guilt, condemning guilt from the devil, you just hold up Romans chapter 5 as your receipt. And you remind the devil of everything that you have been given in salvation. And it's listed right there in Romans chapter 5. So we need to understand that condemning guilt for Christians can put us in a shell. And this is the series, Breaking Out of Our Shells. And you get into this shell, and because of all this guilt, what tends to happen is we tend to bottle ourselves up, and we're no longer the people that God intended us to be. In fact, studies show this, that guilt affects you physically. It can cause headaches, stomach aches, muscle aches, all kinds of things. Guilt impedes success. Guilt makes you punish yourself. And guilt affects your personality. Did you know when we really put more guilt on ourselves than other people? Because what we do is we are self-critiques. And we critique ourselves so much that we begin to feel guilty. We're attacking ourselves. And we're not to do that. We are to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. Now, here's a woman. And the first thing I want you to see about this woman and how she breaks free from guilt is this. Coming to Jesus just as you are. You have to come to Jesus with all of your guilt. You say, I can relax now because I've already done that and I've been forgiven and I'm born again. And this sermon is for those that don't know Jesus well. No, this is for you too. And it's for me. Because what happens is guilt builds up in our lives. And if we don't properly handle it the way 1 John 1:9 teaches, what will happen is we get completely stifled in being used of the Lord in His intended way. And He's got all these good works created for us even before the foundation of the world. And then what happens is, because we're guilt-ridden and fear-ridden, all these things are kin to each other. And all of this begins to happen in our life, we begin to doubt ourselves. We doubt that we can be successful. We doubt we can do anything for the Lord. We doubt ourselves more than other people doubt us. And so we put ourselves in a prison. So here's a lady that's doing everything out of the ordinary. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. Now, I don't want to really concentrate on this Pharisee, but this Pharisee, he wasn't inviting Jesus to his house because he wanted to know how to be saved. He was inviting Jesus to his house because it was the proper thing to do, and to him, it's like having a celebrity over. He just wants to have conversation. He doesn't want this to get to be a deep conversation. In fact, he really doesn't even want Jesus to even talk about sin or anything like that. Well, let me tell you, wherever Jesus goes and to whomever Jesus speaks, they're going to hear about salvation because that's just who Jesus was. He loved that Pharisee as much as he loved the sinful woman. One had sins of the spirit, the other had sins of the flesh. And so verse 37 says, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. By the way, this is not Mary Magdalene, as a lot of people suppose. In fact, the name is not given in this text. So don't confuse this lady with the other stories in the Bible. This is all by itself. This is a lady we don't really know who it is because she's not named. And I like that. You know why I like that? Because if she's not named, put your name there. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that whoever, you and I are whoever's. I'm a whoever. Sometimes I don't even remember my own name. I'm glad the Lord does. But we are whoever's. And whoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Here's a woman who is known in the city. She is a sinful woman. She is probably fairly well-to-do because of the type of alabaster flask that she had, with the high-dollar fragrant oil that she used for sinful purposes at one time, but now she's coming with all of her guilt. She's bringing it to Jesus, and she's giving Jesus all that she has. She's coming to Jesus just as she is. You know, the second thing on your outline is don't worry about what others think. Now, she comes in there, verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table. Now, don't think of this like our tables. This would have been a triclinium. This would have been they laid on their sides, on their left arm, and then they ate. They ate off of a very low table that was low to the ground, and their feet would have been pointing out away from them. And they did that for the very purpose that in their culture, keep your feet as far from you as you can. Now, there was something that was supposed to happen when Jesus came into this Pharisee's house, but it hadn't happened. The Pharisee was supposed to either himself or via a servant anoint Jesus' head with some fragrant oil, just a little bit. The servant was supposed to wash Jesus' feet when he came in and then dry it with a clean towel, and Jesus was to be given a place of honor at the table. Well, this Pharisee hadn't done any of these things, but this sinful woman that comes in is going to do all of it except for giving him a place of honor at the table. And so she comes in, and she's not worried about what others think. She's coming to Jesus just as she is, and perhaps she heard Jesus preaching in town. We don't know. All we know is she was shunned, and let me tell you, if the Pharisee had have known that she was coming into the house, he would have already had provisions to keep her out. He would have already said, do not let that woman come in the house. But you see, a lot of the Pharisees were well-to-do, and they had a courtyard within their house, and part of the culture was to allow the public, people just out in the streets, to come into the courtyard and view the dinner and to listen to the conversations. It was a big deal. It was like getting close to celebrities for them. And so here they are, and here comes this woman, but she doesn't stop at the courtyard. And everybody's looking at her saying, oh my goodness, she doesn't have her hair put up, because in that culture you didn't go into the guest house and your hair being down. And they're like, oh my goodness, that's so-and-so from downtown. I can't believe she's here. Oh, this is going to be, we got to watch this. This is going to be exciting. And so she comes in, and she comes in feeling guilty. She comes in with godly sorrow, and she feels like nobody loves me. But she understands that there's something in this Jesus. There's something about him that can connect her to God. She's understanding it. She's realizing it. And she manages to get past everybody, and she goes in, and the Bible says that she begins to unload her emotions. She begins to weep in verse 38. The Bible says, and stood at his feet. Why? Because his feet, Jesus is laying down. That's how they sat at the table. And she's down there at the back where his feet are. And she looks down, and his feet haven't been washed. And so it would have been rude to come on up a little further and start anointing his head. So what does she do? She anoints his feet instead. And she is just emotionally spilling her guts. And she is bawling, and the tears are dripping on his feet. And perhaps she's embarrassed about it. So she gets her hair in humility and begins to clean his feet. And Jesus is being glorified at this moment for who he is. Now, you ask yourself, well, what do we do with our guilt? We do the exact same thing. We got to come to Jesus as we are, and we can't worry about what people think. Let me tell you, in hell, people aren't worried about what others think anymore. They just wish they could have one opportunity, one more time, to get saved. You say, I'm a Christian, but I'm carrying guilt. Let me show you how guilt works. Now, this is the backpack I used on our mission trip to the Amazon. It's a little one. Just put it on your back. It's got a water bottle built in it. But this backpack is a lot like guilt. Every day that we do not handle our guilt biblically, what happens is we put the backpack of guilt on. And we go through the day, and the backpack is kind of heavy on your back. And we tote this guilt around. And you know what happens when we do that? Every time we have a thought, every time somebody says something to us, it has to be filtered through the backpack. Our minds are now filtering information coming to us. Information going out from us is being filtered through the guilt pack, through this backpack. And so Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden. Did you know research was done recently about guilt? And they learned that people that feel guilty, it's like a weight. They actually said, I feel heavier with this guilt. And I don't know how they inflicted the guilt for the research, but it was proven that when you feel a load of guilt, you feel heavy laden. Jesus knew that being God. And he says, all ye who are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take up my yoke, for I am lowly. Come alongside me is what Jesus is saying. Take up my yoke. Put off the backpack of guilt and let me lighten your load. And that's exactly what he does. And you say, praise the Lord, I've took care of that. I've come to Jesus just as I am. I've been born again, and I confess my sins regularly. One more thing. This is a fanny pack. Now, I've got rid of all my sins, but I'm hypersensitive. I mean, if somebody critiques me in the least, it's the worst thing ever hit me. I mean, I'm so sensitive. And I interpret that as you're saying I'm not good enough. You're saying that I'm not successful. And we get all hypersensitive because we got a little bitty critique. Somebody told me the other day that I'm not parting my hair right. You know, there's men have three kinds of hair. They have the parted, the unparted, and the departed. And mine departed. And so we carry our hypersensitive fanny pack on us every day just in case we need it. So somebody critiques us just a little bit. And what do? Oh, the world's coming to an end. I mean, I can't handle that. Why? Because now we're thinking through the fanny pack instead of through Jesus. Instead of realizing that God's conforming me to his image, he uses people, he uses everything. And sometimes people that feel guilty all the time put guilt trips on others. You know, there's a saying that hurt people hurt people. And so this is what the Pharisee's doing. The Pharisee was guilt tripping this woman. He's saying to himself, well, if Jesus knew who this was, my goodness, he's not even a prophet. Well, he'd know that she's a sinful woman. He's guilt tripping. Did you know it's sin to guilt others? Sometimes we do it because we feel like it elevates us over somebody else, but it's sinful. Well, I hadn't heard from you in 6 weeks. Well, did you call them in the last few weeks? We guilt trip people, and it's sinful. That's the fanny pack. And we towed it with us. And the Lord is saying, you're yoked up wrong. What this lady needed, she understood that Jesus could remove her guilt. She needed to experience it. Receiving from Jesus just what you need. You've got to come to the Lord, receiving from Jesus just what you need. And the first thing she needed was this, and that's what brought her to the tears and brought her to Jesus' feet. You need love to lift you. She found in Jesus what she had never had. She found God's love. In fact, we sang, Thou, Lord, what a go. For he is a shield to me. He is a lifter unto my head. He lifts us up. We sing a song called Love Lifted Me. Jesus says, look, I love you despite your sin, and I'm willing to forgive your sin as far as the east is from the west if you'll let me. And this woman lays her sin at Jesus' feet, and he lifts her up. She feels the love of God. Listen, love softens guilt. Maybe you're wearing the fanny pack, or I'm wearing the fanny pack. The best way you can get rid of the fanny pack is to love somebody. Teresa, I love you. She said, you better. You see, love covers a multitude of sins. But when we love others and we step out beyond our comfort zones and we make a decision, I'm going to do something for somebody else. I'm going to love on other people. I'm going to serve other people. Listen, I can't tell you the benefits of that. Because what it does, it begins to elevate us in who God wants us to be. And we start seeing something that lightens our load. It's like, oh my goodness, Jesus, I see you are designing and orchestrating some events in my life all of a sudden. Why is that taking place? Jesus says, simple. Because you've got out of the pit of guilt and you've started letting your personality and who you are and who I made you, you're being yourself in Jesus, and now suddenly I've got somebody I can use. Because now you're not connected to your fear. Now you're not listening to your anxiety. Now you're not governing your responses based on your guilt. Now you're making your responses and your actions and everything that you do based on who I am and what I want to do through you. And that gives us meaning and it gives us purpose. But then there's another one. There's the blood to forgive you. The blood in the Old Testament, it covers you of your sin. The blood in Jesus Christ removes you from the sin. That's the power of the blood. When he shed his blood, Jesus made it complete. You say, how did he make it complete? Well, let me use this illustration. Friday, I looked at my odometer, and I realized that I was about 1,000 miles past my oil change. So I go over here and I run up there and get my oil changed, and I wanted the full mill deal. It was time, you know, do everything that motor needs. And they do a great job, and the technician came back in there and he says, well, we really need to do this. And I said, go ahead and do it because I got to take care of this truck. It's paid for. And so he did it. And I was thinking about it while he was out there doing his work. He was so proud of what he was doing to my truck. And they drained the oil out of the sole of my engine. That dark, dirty, sinful oil, he drained it out. My engine started feeling less guilty about the oil it was running on. Then he hooked up this deal to the top of my throttle body. If you don't know what that is, well, I don't either. And he hooked this deal up to it, and he cleaned my fuel system. And I look back out there, and they got a guy that's cleaning my windshield. I'm getting brand new vision from out of my cab. And then I look, and there goes a hose. He's vacuuming out my truck. I don't know why I don't get my oil changed more often. He's cleaning it good. That's exactly what Jesus does. We come to the Lord Jesus as believers. We come to the Lord Jesus as an unbeliever needing to be saved. And he removes the guilt. He drains out the oil of our sinful life. He begins to drain it. And he gets our windshield and he cleans it up. And he gets us where we see biblically instead of seeing through the world and through our guilt and through our fear and our anxiety. And then he takes that vacuum cleaner and he vacuums out all that dirt. But that's what the Lord does. He brings his blood to forgive you, his love to lift you. But then there's another one, his peace to sustain you. And that peace that sustains us is what keeps us walking in the light of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 48. Here's this lady. She's heard the parable. The illustration Jesus has given. She's so desperate from a word from her Savior. She's poured her life out on the Lord, and look at the words that Jesus gives to her. These words are just for her at that moment, but they're for you and I at our moment. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And then in verse 49, and those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? I want to answer that question for him. This one that even forgives sins is God. He is the Son of the living God. This one who forgives sins saw you and me before he ever left heaven, before you were ever born. And he left heaven to die for the sins of the world. And when he was on the cross and during that 3 hours of darkness, as all of that sin, my sin, your sin, my fanny pack, my backpack of guilt, all of it is being carried by Jesus Christ. And for 3 hours of darkness, the Father, in a mysterious way that we cannot understand, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and he is receiving all of that judgment that belonged to you and I. It should have been me nailed to the cross and you nailed to the cross, and all of that punishment should have been on you and I. And Jesus is receiving it, and he's saying, I love you. And he's saying from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What would me and you say? Father, hold them accountable for what they're doing to me. Father, bring lightning down on them for what they're doing to me. That's what we would do. And Jesus is saying, nah. He's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then eventually Jesus says, it is finished. That means he paid in full our sin debt. And at that moment, they didn't have to break his legs, by the way, Because Jesus had the power he had received from the Father that he could give of his life and take it back again. And Jesus, listen, by his command, he died. Because he offered himself as a sacrifice. You see, he didn't die because 100% of his blood was spilt. He died because it was finished. The blood was being spilt. But he was still alive. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. The Bible says his head fell. The Bible says that the temple veil was ripped from the top to the bottom, allowing you and I to enter into the Holy of Holies at that moment. Paul says you are complete in him. The Bible says he gives us his righteousness, and he takes away our own. The blood doesn't just cover your sin. The blood removes it positionally, past, present, and future. And then it cleanses us in our walk. It keeps our feet clean in a dirty world. Do you know Jesus this morning? Have you received Jesus? Are you walking around as a Christian, hypersensitive with a fanny pack of guilt? And every time somebody says the least little thing to you, it offends you to high heaven? The least little thing, the least little bit of critique? And so you live your life in anxiety trying to please everybody? Let me tell you something. You can't please everybody. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. I've tried it. I couldn't please myself even trying. I tell you, you can't do it. As hard as you try, somebody's going to be disappointed in you. But you cannot let that get to you. You can't. Because God's got a purpose in your life. And you'll beat yourself up so bad, you don't even know who you are anymore. You'll wonder, who am I? And it'll put you in a prison. Let Jesus forgive you. Walk in the peace that sustains you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story, for this text that, Lord, is meant for the whole world. Father, it's for us right here in Mount Silvan. And you may say, well, I need to be saved. I've never done that. I want to ask you, even at this moment, right where you are, to give your heart to Jesus, to come to him just as you are. Don't worry about what others think. Receive from him that love that will lift you, that blood that will forgive you, and that peace that will sustain you. You can do it right now. From the heart, one believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Simply give your heart to Jesus and your life to him right now, asking him to come into your life to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and he'll do it because he's faithful. It's what he came to do. And you may be in here this morning and maybe it's something completely different. Maybe it's just guilt. Maybe the guilt has made you somebody you don't even know who you are yourself. Would you finally say something good about you? Say something good about yourself. Tell yourself, I'm forgiven. Tell yourself, I've got purpose in life. Tell yourself, I love my personality. It's who God made me, and be yourself. Tell yourself, I'm no longer going to let fear and guilt control me. I'm going to walk in the newness of life and put on the new man. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. You see, we tend to not say anything good about ourselves. We tend to beat ourselves up. Don't do that anymore. Let Jesus have your life. Walk in him. Lord, do in our hearts what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Silvan Baptist Church.